Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and with me in the studio today is my partner in crime, our special co-host Janine Doherty with J9 Designs LLC. Janine is also the radio host and sponsor for Destination Lifestyle and Designs radio and podcast series. Hello, my dear.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much.
Glad you're here. And you've brought along with you some special guests as well. So let's introduce them.
Today, I am very welcome to introduce, we have Craig Smith and we have Daniel Barnes. Want to make sure I'm pronouncing those right.
Thank goodness for easy names.
Mod House. Now, let me just spell out Mod House. M-O-D-H-A-U-S. Very important.
Got to have the German quality there.
Yeah, that's right. Mod House Builders. Well, welcome Daniel and Craig. Welcome
to
the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So just wanted to kick off and say, you know, the best part of a show like this is tell us first about a little bit about Mod House. What is your company? What do you do?
Well, we are primarily a custom home builder. We operate in a space that is pretty much mid-century or West Coast modern in design, building for clients of all different types. I mean, they can be all over the board as far as their financial aptitude and also their design tastes.
Now, and Daniel, do you have anything to add? Or excuse me, Craig, anything to add to that about Mod House and what people should know about it?
I'm head of the construction side of things.
Okay.
I deal with the, basically once client comes on board, plans handed over, I take over from there and build their dream home.
Fantastic. How long has Mod House been in business?
Well, as a custom home builder, we've been about a year and a half. But prior to that, we were a spec home builder. And it's been a recent thing that we became a custom home builder for clients. After enough clients came to us and were asking us over and over and over again to build their home, we finally broke down and said yes.
And for those who don't know, as listeners, that don't know the difference between spec and custom, you know, those of us in the design world, architectural world, building world might know the difference, but your clients then are asking for more. So in a nutshell, the difference between spec building and custom home building.
Well, a spec build is something that, you know, we've done all the design work on. We build it from start to finish, and then we put it on the market to sell, and the client takes it or leaves it. In a custom build, they have their input in what's going to happen to the build. So they may have any particular thing that they want, and that can be included.
And what helped you make that transition between spec building and custom?
Boy.
Is that a big loaded question?
It is kind of a loaded question because we fought it for a while. I mean,
really?
Clients are clients, and you always are like, oh, do we want to deal with clients? Do we want clients?
Interesting.
But eventually, we had a particular client, and I won't use his name, but he did convince us to take on his house. And once we got started, the experience really wasn't as bad as we kind of thought it would be.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you wanted to add anything?
Yeah, seems that there's been more of a demand for this type of style of home that we've kind of fell into that niche for people.
Have you always been in that niche, or you said you just fell into that mid-century modern niche style?
We were there. We were operating in that space, yes.
Yeah.
But as Craig mentioned, the demand from the outside clients came in and
just started coming.
Yeah.
And are you finding that these are clients from in-state, out-of-state, local, from wherever?
It's both.
Both. Both.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, being that we're in an area, it's part of the country where mid-century modern, you know, started, say, West Coast, mid West Coast. And like you mentioned, where your office is located kind of has that vibe that you have that style here sort of that grew through the time. So from the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. Now you're seeing that as a demanded architectural style. So were you involved or exposed to that ahead of time? Or is it just because of the nature of where we're at that you have clients that are wanting that? Or is that just your particular aesthetic?
I know I can speak for myself. It was my particular aesthetic prior to coming in.
There you go.
Coming into Arizona, you know, all the houses were all stucco and you were just used to seeing that, you know, very repeated style of house kind of everywhere. Mm-hmm. And once we decided to move into this industry, our first thing was we're going to produce something different. You know, we're not just going to go build a stucco box.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, so just wanted to mention a couple of things. Is just giving some background on Mod House. I was reading that you have an extensive history in business creation and ownership. And again, your love of the mid-century modern design really stands out. And then also for you, Craig, that you have some experience also in some business development or partnerships previously.
Yeah, prior to the Mod House, I had a company before that.
Mm-hmm.
I was basically my own general contractor.
Really?
Residential, commercial, you know, you name it.
Tell us about your clients. You know, I'm sure those listening in may be interested in custom building, may be interested in mid-century modern. Who is your client?
Well, when you ask, like, tell us about your clients,
yeah.
give me something
sure.
to work from here.
So, sure. Example, for example, you said you're really drawn to mid-century modern. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from where your background is and where you're from, you just were always drawn to it. I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, that your clients have a same similar passion for that style. Do they drive the design process? Do you guide them? What would you say?
Oh, so now I can understand
where we
are. So definitely the clients, I think when they come in, they may not understand exactly what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you start to show them the different designs and the different, you know, what can be done, and then maybe drive them to some houses that have been completed, walk them through some houses, they start to have a realization that, you know, they don't have to have a stucco box. They can have something else, something unique that is just theirs. And, you know, that sparks, I think, their own creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll start, sharing. We'll start them a folder on house.com and they'll share thousands of photos. And, mm-hmm. Suddenly you've got a portfolio of that client and you can understand where they are.
Oh, great. What's a good project that you're working on right now that you're excited about? Might be a case study or maybe a spec home that you've done in the past that you really loved.
Well, we've got one right now that is probably just interesting because of its environmental, you know, impact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The SIP house that we're building.
Correct.
Yep.
And what is that? Go ahead.
SIP wall is basically a panel house. House of design, has insulated panels, comes out, truck gets stood up in a day, set the trusses. It's a very unique and environmental friendly home. Very energy efficient.
I see. Oh, great. And where is that going to be built? Is that in the Phoenix area?
That's in Cape Creek.
Excellent.
Oh, great area for that.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, it's a beautiful lot. It really is.
And, a lot of windows as well because you can see the landscape, or is it unique?
Quite a few windows.
Yeah. Windows a lot are of not, not a shortage in our work.
No.
I would imagine, right? The style itself lends to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty much see through the home, front to back, a lot of windows.
So you do a lot of site visits. Are you all over town or are you primarily up in the Cape Creek?
We are all over town. We got some spec home stuff going in Arcadia.
Okay.
Getting ready to start a house in Scottsdale Mountain, Cave Creek.
Great area too.
Just started one in Queen Creek.
Yeah.
So we are.
Rio Verde coming up.
Rio Verde coming up.
Oh my goodness.
We're all over the place.
Oh, wow. So you are a busy group.
Yep.
Dan,
I would imagine he puts on some miles.
And you point to him.
Yeah.
Dan, you mentioned that as a custom builder, you really serve a variety of price levels as well. That's a little different than the custom builder, isn't it? So it really is more around this style of home and then within reason working with the clients.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, we see clients all the way 600,000-700,000, mm-hmm. and then it just kind of goes up from there. Yeah.
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 And how did you all come to work together?
Gosh, we met through a mutual friend, architect.
Oh, yeah, we did. That's right. I was thinking,
How did we meet?
That is how.
Yeah. And Michelle isn't here today, but she's another partner.
Yes. And I wish she was here.
Yeah. Because why? Michelle, shout out to Michelle. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she'd be saving us right now.
She probably would be saving us right now. She could speak to all of this.
You two be quiet.
All right. So what role does Michelle play in the partnership?
Well, she's in the design side of things. She, as a company, we also kind of make sure that we have all our hard surface designs put together for the house. And really what that means is your, you know, the materials, the cabinet colors, the countertops, the flooring, that's all going to go into this space. But that would be her primary role.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to, because if I tell her that she's also in accounting, she would probably say.
But she does handle that. Yes. She would not like that title.
But, you know, a lot of I'm very familiar with it. We wear a lot of hats in this industry.
We do.
Very
many.
Exactly. What was your favorite thing about building custom homes? Because this is not for the faint of heart, this type of work.
They're all different.
That's true.
There's not one alike. We have the same style and design, but... Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, they're still all different.
Excellent. And yeah. how about you? What would you say?
I just love the different, I mean, the finished look, the materials that mm-hmm. are getting used. You know, when it's all put together, it just amazes me. I mean, you know, we were sitting with a piece of dirt here, you know, 7 months ago, and here's this house all put together, and it's beautiful, and the people are moving in, and, you know, they've got their interior designer coming and doing all the finished and put just, you know,
the furnishings, I'm always amazed. The accessories, yep. Down to the last things on the counter or what goes in the bathroom. It's really important because it finishes a job.
It does.
And then it photographs better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yep.
Not an empty shell, but I'm sure it's a beautiful shell. Is there anything that, and as this happens, and you can interject at any time, but I was just thinking, in our business, things go wrong. So how does Mod House handle, you know, those little ups and downs of a project?
You know, we start hitting it from, how are we going to fix it? You know,
exactly.
How do we correct it? How do we prevent it from happening next time? But more importantly, what's our solution?
Yeah.
And the clearest, easiest path to that.
I mean, we spend a lot of time, and we were talking to this before we went on the air, with the client and with our construction team and with the designers and the architect. And a lot of time is spent on the front end pouring through those plans and just working through a lot of those details early on, which helps us avoid a lot of problems. But, this is building a house. There's still stuff that comes up, and it's, you know, it's unique to everyone. Mm-hmm. So we do have to take it, just as Craig said. We're all about, you know, just jumping in and figuring out what that problem is, solving it, and then, you know, trying to address it from a procedural standpoint, how we can make it not happen again if it's something that was on our end, you know.
That's
if it's,
fantastic.
It's a drawing problem, then you just... go work it out with the architect later.
Excellent. Oh, that's a great answer. I do appreciate that. Because, you know, things will go wrong. And it's all really how you handle mm-hmm. what goes wrong and how do we fix it. You're right. It's so do you think that what makes you or differentiates you from other builders in the market for this type of home?
Well, I mean, first, you know, the space that we operate in, the particular style of home, there's probably only a few people that are building in that space. But I think, you know, there's a lot of builders that have been around here in Arizona for a long time.
Sure.
There's those guys, the old guard, I'll call them. They've been building since, you know, the 60s. And a lot of them are aging out at this point. And, you know, I just think there's a new opportunity for, you know, some young, fresh designers and builders to come into the market space. And you're seeing it in some ways. I mean, you see companies like Rafter House that have come up and, you know, Us Mod House, and, you know, there's other ones that just seem to, you know, kind of be rising in the space and bringing new stuff to the market.
Well, you mentioned the environmental aspect of some of your projects. That was kind of interesting. And I would say that that's not something you see every day. And it is more of your specialty. Are you getting more and more into those types of projects?
I haven't seen any others come up.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that certainly we would, but it's client driven, and there's a cost that always comes with that.
Yeah,
there's no cheap answer to the environmentally friendly house. We do study it all the time, and we're talking with our vendors, and we have other vendors fly in, or we go out to their place and learn about the materials so that we're, you know, really up to date on what's possible. But, you know, the client still has to demand it. And, you know, you always end up, the process is probably much the same for you is, you know, you build them the dream house, and then you got to, you know,
Where do we value engineers?
Right. You got it.
So. What does the budget look like? After all said and done, it looks great. Okay, but how much does it cost?
Exactly. And
you I think you have to be, I'm guessing, because I do radio, so I don't build homes. But there's probably some finesse in that conversation too, right? Because you want to pull out all of their dreams and desires and hopes, and you probably also have to keep them a little bit grounded in that.
For sure. Yeah. Got to somehow guide them and get them into a middle ground.
Yeah. And hopefully.
That's a struggle.
Yeah, it is. You're right. I mean, it's one that we battle every single day. Mm. But it's also one that, you know, you want to make sure that you're not stripping the soul from the house. You know, you're keeping the integrity of what's there, but still giving them, you know, the best house that you can for the dollar. And
yeah. And just from my experience, I can only akin it to, it's a dance. It's, you know, it could be a jive, it could be a ballet, it could be who knows what, but, you know, it's a dance. And so you are reciprocating what they're giving you, and you're giving it back, you're reinterpreting it back, and you're saying, is this correct? And then they're giving you feedback. It's a constant flow of information back and forth, and that's why communication is so key.
Those same round table discussions I was talking about, it's all part of the same thing.
So I mean, you were saying that the round table, or, you know, the tabletop discussions. I loved that analogy or that story. You know, explain to our listeners your process, and when you have client meetings, and from the beginning for the end, what kind of clients expect?
Well, so when a client first signs on, of course they are going to, it can go one of two ways. I should start there. They've either come to us with their architect in tow, or they've come to us and say, I want to build a house, and we introduce them to an architect, or, you know, whoever they're going to need for their project. At that point, we like to bring everybody into the office, and that includes the architect, the interior designers, the, you know, everybody that's going to be involved, even down to our site supervisor that's going to be running that site. And we sit down at the table, and we kind of hash out what that house is going to be. And then, of course, the drawings get done, and that process kind of continues on throughout the whole build. So after the drawings are done, we all are sitting down again and going through those same plans and thinking about, you know, where can we value engineer? That's always a good one that comes up. Where can we make this tweak or that tweak? And then once the construction starts, those conversations continue throughout the entire process, all the way to the end. Because as the house starts to go together, no matter what, I think clients then can visualize it, even though you may have thrown them 3D models, you know, had, you know, all the drawings in the world. Once it's up, they start to see it. And then they're like, oh, maybe I want, you know, that there.
Exactly. Yeah,
so, you know, that,
I can relate to that.
And that process really kind of keeps everybody involved. It keeps everybody really in tune with what's going on, so that, you know, there's no client just walking onto the job site, you know, and blindsiding the site super who was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
He's been sitting in on those meetings the whole time.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's fantastic. And not every builder does that. So I think that's fantastic. And that's what I think distinguishes maybe you from other builders. I think that's great. Yeah. Karen, is there any other thoughts? You've done some building in your past.
We haven't. Well, I mean,
considered.
We were going to do a home years ago, a custom home, and it didn't end up that way. And I'm still in the same home, happily at different marriage. But, you know, that's a whole other segment. We won't get into that.
So what broke the non-custom home
process? Yeah.
Just the fact that there was a divorce in the middle of that. So
that one'll do it.
Right. That did it. What I'm curious about is your backgrounds. So you mentioned that you'd had a business previously as a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And have you always known that you wanted to be in construction? Like, tell us a little bit about each of you individually. I'm always curious about people's background.
Pretty much I've always wanted to be in it.
You know, really?
From when I first started as a landscaper to a foreman, moved here, worked as an electrician, commercial, industrial, went back to school for a couple of years. Port construction was my road there, and got through a couple of years and just decided to start working and
But always in the trades. And what a breadth of experiences you've had, from electrician to landscaping to everything. So you've really had a chance to see all aspects of the business.
My first superintendent job was for a custom home builder for a year.
And you love that.
Yep. And I've been friends with him ever since.
I was just going to ask. It sounds like that might have been a mentor, somebody
very
who
much
mentored
so.
You.
Very much
you
so.
Want to give him a shout out or her?
I do. Bruce.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. And how about you, Dan? Did you always know this is where you'd land?
No, my path is completely different.
Really? Yeah.
I was in a totally different industry. When I got out of college, I started a bicycle store in Scottsdale.
Wow.
And then we opened another bicycle store and then opened a triathlon training center. And I was in that industry for, it seems like maybe 20 years or close to it. Then sold that company and... Let's see, I think after that, I went to work for a bicycle company in California, which I think lasted about a year because I was like, well, I can't work for anyone.
Yes.
And then...
here you are.
Then we kind of ended up here. Yeah, I think we went and what we did is we were watching TV and watching them flip houses. And I said, that doesn't look that hard, you know.
You mentioned that. And I'm really curious about, you know, that was the start of your journey.
Mm-hmm.
The spec home, the flipping. That's a huge trend, or maybe it's weighing now. But can you speak a little bit about that? Yeah.
I don't know that I can
your
speak
journey.
To it.
Yeah, your journey.
My journey was, you know, much probably like a lot of people's, you know, I watch TV.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there going,
I can do that.
Exactly. And we got together, a couple guys, and we jumped into a few different houses, you know, all hands on deck, and literally did the work ourselves. And they were... In fact, that may have been kind of the real foothold for mid-century modern, because these were all, you know, those 1950s ranch houses in downtown Phoenix that we were turning over, and we were giving them a real, you know, kind of modern flair to them as we were doing them. And
driven by your aesthetic.
Yep.
Because you didn't have a client. So you said, this is what I like.
Yep.
This is what I'm going to do.
And then we'd have a company like, you know, Modern Manor. I don't know if you know those guys. They do mid-century modern furniture here in town. Beautiful stuff. But they would come and stage our houses. And that was kind of the start of it all. Yep.
And you guys have won some awards. I'm looking at your website. I'm looking at your website.
We probably have.
You're like, that's Michelle. Yeah. Michelle would know that. looks like in 2017, 18 projects completed, 8 awards won. So we'll have to make sure we pull those up for the podcast content. And I'm curious. So I asked Craig, a mentor for you, it doesn't necessarily have to be in construction or custom home building. Who's been a leadership or a business mentor for you?
Boy. That's a good question.
It's okay to say, you know, I don't know that there was anybody, right?
Yeah, and I don't know that there was. I honestly don't.
Yeah, there's no right answer.
I just have my family and, you know, I look to them. Yep.
Good enough. Yeah. How about you, Janine? Do you have somebody in your either business life or designing life that stands out as a mentor and a guide?
I would say those that are connected with their clients truly have been mentors to me. The ones that I don't put as high on my priority list are the ones that I didn't feel really connected with the client or the project. It was just another number in mm-hmm. their project list.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just, you know, meet the criteria and move on. There was no heart and soul. So the people that I've been drawn to and I've enjoyed working for and admire are the ones that have the passion for the work and truly care about the design and how it's going to be almost a legacy in a way for their client and also a mark on the work they do. So that's just them in a nutshell. Their character mm-hmm. stood out to me, and that they were kind to others. They were kind to their clients. They understood loyalty, and I wanted to follow in those footsteps.
I love that. So,
well, she did a much better job than I did.
Yeah, she put all of us to shame, all three of us.
Exactly.
Bam, bam, bam. We, here at Business Radio X, we have worked on our core values recently, and you've shared several of them, and it's fascinating to me. So in the beginning of the show, I mentioned that we are obviously here at Back 6, which is a conscious workspace, but we're also partly sponsored by Conscious Capitalism, which is an international movement. And I'm finding that more and more businesses, regardless of the industry or the vertical, are really going to make a commitment to work with the vendors, the employees, the clientele, and everybody that's in their circle that share that same set of values. The loyalty's there, the integrity, the kindness, you know, and that's who we're committed to, sharing the stories. That's, of course, why all of you are here. And it's made my decisions as a business owner so much easier to have that clarity. Right. And for me, my mentors and guides have been the folks who, from the very beginning of whatever business they were doing, knew very clearly and did not waver on what their values were and could easily say, no, this is not a great fit. And here's why, because this person or this business doesn't match this value.
It easily matches you to people, I think, on just a conscious level and sometimes subconscious and unconscious level. Those clients that are going to be drawn to you, you're drawn to them, and it's a good fit, and you're going to vibe, you're going to flow. And that's what I've experienced. The ones or projects that haven't gone so well, it's just because that just for some reason there just wasn't that flow or that vibe. So,
and in design, so whether it's interior design or it is actually building, I would imagine you've got to have a lot of clarity about that up front. Like, how are we jiving? How are we fitting? Because so much of your work is going to, and what their dreams are going to be reflected in your work. So you've got to be clear about that up front.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's over a long period of time. I mean, this relationship is not going to be, you know, here's what you got. You know, you're going to be working with these people for
quite a while.
Yeah, easily a year.
Easily.
Yeah.
And when someone moves into their home and it's recent or they've been there for a while, what's kind of the feedback that two things? One, what do you hear from them? Like if we had the benefit of having a client here, what would they say about you and the experience in their home?
Well, I mean, I don't want to speak for any of them, but I hope they would be saying very positive things. I know that, you know, the ones that are in their homes love their homes.
Good.
And, you know, we still get to, you know, we still communicate with them, you know, long after they move in.
Right.
That's exactly what I was wondering.
Can we bring a client to your house? That shows a lot. You know, yes, you can bring a client to my house.
Of course you can.
And, you know, that's the relationship you want. That's the ones that you really strive for. And we want them all to be like that. A lot of what you just talked about earlier isn't something that maybe we mentally put down on paper, but
you know,
but we definitely know as a company exactly, and it's how we operate and how we think about everything we do inside the company.
Yeah. Excellent. Karen, any more thoughts or anything that you wanted to add?
I'm curious about just the marketplace. So we had Open Door on not too long ago. They've been on with us a couple of times, and we've had, you know, different realtors and with Janine's show, Destination Lifestyle and Design.
We've had
other builders, and it appears that the economy is in a really great place and continue to get better. And I'm happy to see as I drive from my home in Chandler, you know, up here to Tempe and further on north, that I see construction everywhere, both custom as well as home,
remodels.
Yeah, and commercial, you name it. So, what are you seeing in the Metro Phoenix area? I'm right, like things are looking good right now.
They are.
Yeah, and thank goodness for the business that y'all are in.
Yeah, because
I mean, there was a time, right, 2008, when things were not looking so good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's the future for Mod House? I'm sure Michelle would have that answer, but just from off the top of your head, what's the future for Mod House?
Well, I know we're going to continue to build, you know. I think we'll continue to grow at this pace. I mean, in the current industry, just as in the marketplace, it's demanding that we grow. I don't know, you know, how big we want to be. What does that look like?
You need to decide that.
Yeah, at some point we have to decide where we want to, you know, kind of turn the valve off and okay, we're big enough for what we want to do, because at some point you lose some of that. I don't know, that
customer service in a way.
You can train all you want and you can do all the stuff, but you know, at some point it becomes more of a machine than anything else.
Yes.
So we're playing with that right now. What does that look like? Because I think we have, you know, probably 12 or 13 that will be online here in the next, you know, few months. So we kind of think we're close to that number.
And we try and juggle everything from when they start. And a lot of times you just don't know, you know, from plans being done and getting those into the city for permits, and when do those come out?
So many outside factors,
so many
right?
Outside things.
There are, yeah.
And such a process that our clients have to go through to get to having a permit.
For sure.
Just to start to
just
build.
Just to be able to start building.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then the costs are, you know, I'm sure you're seeing it too. The costs are rising like crazy.
Costs are going up every month.
Right. And for materials for you, labor?
Labor, vendors, you know, they're shorthanded, they're busy. You know, stretch too thin.
I think, you know, maybe even going back to your comment on 2008, a lot of the vendors, you know, they're afraid to scale like they did before the last crash.
Yeah.
And so nobody's committing quite the same kind of resources to scaling their company. And this can go, you know, for the window manufacturers or, you know, the whoever it is, you know, they're all out there. But they're afraid to put that you know, manpower and dollar value into their growing their company to the same size as maybe they were before, even though the economy's, you know, probably much like it was before the crash. Yep.
Yes. Great.
Yeah. Really fascinating.
It is.
Where can we find Mod House on as far as the internet? And what does an introduction phone call or email extension look like if somebody's listening and they're interested in checking out to see if you might be a great fit for them? How do they start that process with you?
Well, you can find us at www.modhousegroup.com or modhousebuilders.com. And the house, of course, is H-A-U-S.
M-O-D-H-A-U-S. Yep.
So we've got to get that part right. But then once they reach out to us, you know, usually within 24 hours, they'll receive either an email or a phone call back, depending on how they, you know, wanted the communication to go. At that point, the questions will just start.
Good. Yep. Yeah. Just a conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's really all it is.
Yeah.
In
let's
the beginning.
Explore this together. Make sure it sounds like that we're both a good fit for each other.
Yep.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. And in a nutshell, I was going to say, you know, going back to the conversation earlier, that it's all about building the relationship. So the point of contact is one thing. It's the let's meet, let's get to know each other. Are we the right fit? And then we usually just take it from there in the design world. It's always a let's just wait and see.
Ours just starts with a cup of coffee. Usually.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's the best way to do business still, right?
It is.
There's no speed dating yet for custom home building.
No.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine, especially to your point, Dan, when it's a long-term relationship, right? And the desire is that it goes well beyond the time that folks move in. You want to be that resource and that pride, that little trophy or badge.
Hopefully they
for
are
them.
Recommending you to their best friends.
Exactly.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Love it. And I think it's neat that your architecture, your style is so unique to traditional Arizona. However, I'm seeing more and more of it, and it's nice to have a change. I've been here since 79, and I'm just so done seeing stucco, the same house, the same color.
So
and we're over we're over the Tuscan thing.
Yeah, we're over the Tuscan thing.
Yeah. We're still transitioning out of that. So for those who know what that means, that's what that means. We're transitioning.
I mean, it's nice. I think a lot of, you know, there's a lot of new materials that are allowing us to do some things that maybe they couldn't do before. Mm-hmm. You know, that just wouldn't have held up in Arizona here. So, you know, we do have some opportunities to play with materials that maybe they wouldn't have thought of as much a few years back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I would be remiss if I did not ask Janine to speak to her business a little bit. J9 Designs.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, in a nutshell, I'm an interior designer. I am educated from ASU. So I do have my degree from Arizona State University. And so what distinguishes a designer from a decorator is being NCIDQ certified, which I am. And so I have years of experience in residential and commercial work. My particular business, J9 Designs LLC, is residential based. I really enjoy working with high-end residential clients. I love getting to know them. I love getting to know their lifestyle. I really like to know what makes them tick. So you can reach me at www.j9designsllc.com. You can contact me there. I have my phone number there. Check out the portfolio. And I'd love to just meet over coffee and get to know if it's a right fit for another client.
And I'm going to start following Mod House. If you're on social media, do you have someone handling that? Yeah. Craig's doing the head nod over toward Dan. And so where can we find you on social media? Because, and before you tell us that, the reason why I thought to ask that is because I love seeing Janine's work.
Oh, thank you.
And more recently, you've been with us for a while with your show and series. And I've noticed that you've had an uptick on just really celebrating the work you're doing for clients. So it's fun to watch you there.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. It makes a difference when you have the clients that click with you and you're going to celebrate what they love. So the projects I've been focusing on and featuring are the ones that are speaking to who they are as an individual and letting their aesthetic shine.
And where can we find you? And I'm going to take it back to Dan, but where can we find you on social media?
It's on, well, through Facebook. It's start with Janine Sippledoherty, J-E-A-N-I-N-E, and then S-I-P-P-L-E-D-O-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y. And then my company's face page is J9 Designs LLC. There is a J9 Designs actually from Illinois, but I'm not affiliated with that. The LLC is the key at the end of that. And you can check out my social media links through my website as well.
And then again, for Mod House Builders, we have Daniel Barnes and Craig Smith. And Dan is going to tell us where we can find you on social media.
Well, the obvious one is Facebook, and it is Mod House Group. But you can find us on Instagram as well, and any of the others. You can go to our website and click on any of the links. But to speak on posting on online, it is a lot of fun to really put it the clients, you know, stuff, and especially, you know, we always ask them if it's okay and talk about it first. But it's so fun to kind of get the feedback and hear what people think of it and post the designs and kind of, you know, just get them out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes a huge difference when people can see it, right? And see themselves interacting with you. I think Instagram is one of the most fun places for that.
I'm still
finding my way through it.
Yeah, it's tougher, you know. It's not as smooth.
Unless we're 24, right. 26, and it's like my daughter's like, oh, mom, come on. Like, this is just how it goes. Like, okay, then you can do it for me. Right. Oh, my gosh.
We've got our 9-year-old doing that one.
There you go. Excellent. And it comes so naturally for them, doesn't it? Yes. Yeah, they're pros. I'm out of questions. It's just been a great pleasure to get to know both of you, and obviously wonderful to have you back in the studio, Janine. Anything else that we hadn't thought to ask that you would like our listeners to be aware of before we close out the segment? Pretend like Michelle's here and what
right
she's saying
off
to you. I haven't even met Michelle, but I feel like we're good pals now.
you guys all would be, and I wish she was here to do
well,
this.
We'll
with
get her.
Us.
We'll get her in another time.
Great.
So we feel like we've covered most everything. You'll think of something on my home. Go, gosh,
of course,
darn it.
Yeah.
As soon as we leave.
Yeah. Janine, how about you? Anything on behalf of
I just
want
to say thank you to Daniel and Craig or Dan for being in the studio today, because it's so refreshing to have people in my industry that are open to combo, as you would, rather than competition.
Yes.
And that's the key to what drives me, and it sounds like it drives you as well. Yep. So I appreciate those open conversations.
And can we thank Eric Spry with
thank
Eric
you,
Spry,
Eric
Spry Architect for the introduction,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so we got to give a shout out to Eric.
Shout out to Eric.
I really wish we had him here
as well.
Yes,
we had planned to, and Eric and Michelle, we'll get the two of you on a segment at some point.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I know that Janine had said that Eric reached out and said, hey, I'd really like to have our story shared and would like to bring Mod House as well. So
yes,
Janine's like, absolutely.
He was felt driven to bring you on, and so it was a pleasure and an honor to be able to welcome you in for on his behalf.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank
you bet. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.